Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if y'all can read this from where you're at.
Santa Biblia.
This is my Bible this morning. It says Santa Biblia. So you better pray for interpretation in the tongues.
You better hope he can translate quickly.
Yeah. I forgot my other Bible at the house. Excuse me. Well, this morning, I think I had touched on this actual verse the last time that I shared. And it was more a little bit, I would say, in closing. And, got to do the greeting. Hello, everyone. Glad for you all to be here. And the last time that I shared, I touched on this verse, but I didn't read it. I just kind of paraphrased, quoted it. And I was looking at it, and it's called the priestly or Aaronic blessing, Aaron, the blessing of Aaron. And it's found in Numbers 6:22 through 27, and I'll just go ahead and read it. Well, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, you shall bless the children, or you shall bless the sons of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel or upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. And that has been on my heart for a while, a very good while. I don't want to get out of order, so I'll just say this. When I went to Costa Rica from here, from Covenant Ministries, I think it was like in 2008, the Lord was putting things on my heart, and during that time, and it has not changed since. Of course, my understanding of what he's been placing upon my heart has changed, but what he's been placing upon my heart has not changed. And I'll just say this, that I'm about, 39 years old, 38, 39, somewhere in there, something like that. One of those. I was born in 72, September 72, you can figure it out. Yeah, you do the math. I think 38, 39. Anyway, what?
39,
there you go. And it was just recently last year, and I was born again at the age of 20. So I did the religious thing growing up with my family, and it never stuck. Because it was the religious thing, it doesn't stick. It's what it is. The religion of man, it's like a fad, like everything else in the Gentile world. The Gentile world being those who aren't born again, the unsaved world. Things come and go. It's just a fad. You this fad comes in, you ride the wave, and then you get bored, and then you do some other fad. Okay, so I did that. I guess even through up to the point when I was in high school, and during that time, there were points in time that I desired to know the Lord. I really wanted to know the Lord. I think I was like in fifth or sixth grade, and so I went to the quote unquote church, and it was just another religious fad for me. Now I say for me, maybe for those that were there at present at that time, it wasn't, but for me, it was a fad. Why? Because life was not present. I was dead. I had no life. Okay? At age 20, I was born again. And I would say, I don't, let's see, 20, 30, 19 years, right? I'm 19 years from being born again. In 2008, oh gosh, what are you, 8, 9, 10, 11, 3, 17, 17 years. About 17 years into being born again, the Lord starts doing something in my heart to finally bring me, well, I can't say he began then. I'll say I began to respond to what he was continually doing. And I say continually from the time I was born again and before. It took about who knows how long, well, 3 years, 36 years for my heart to finally respond in the manner which he desires more fully. And I put it that way, more fully, okay? Because my heart responded to the Lord at age 20. But I still had no clue. Yes, I was born again at the age 20, but I still had no clue. All that time. And then 3 years ago, I guess, 8, 9, 10, 11, yeah, about 3 years ago, the Lord continues with what he's always been doing, and my heart is finally responding more fully to the Lord. Okay, why do I say that? Here we go. I know, and you can search this out, you can let the Lord deal with you. I know the reason why the soul exists. I know it. There's no doubt in my mind of the Lord why people are alive. And think of this. Think of it this way. All right. I posed this question when I was in Mexico to the students, and this may sound off the wall, or you may understand my questioning, and you may not, but I'll explain it. When did you begin? Well, if you look at the natural, well, you began when you were born. You literally began then. But see, our beginning begins when life appears in our soul. That's actually when we begin. And we begin with purpose, because Christ himself is that purpose. We must continue, all right, from that point on. And that's why I was saying, I know the reason why man exists. You know, man will go through fades and fads and all this stuff, and, you know, they'll have these aspirations or these goals and to achieve in their lifetime in this and leave their mark on the earth, the history, whatever. All this stuff. They have all their philosophies on why they exist. But they all of mankind, all souls were created with one purpose. It's very simple. I've said it so many times before, but it's just so simple. The soul was created for one purpose, the appearing of Christ. No other purpose. No other purpose. The Holy Spirit deals with souls, with hearts, until they finally turn, and at that point they are converted. At that point they are born again. Life appears where there was literally no life before. You could say it's the appearing of life, the appearing of salvation in the soul, the appearing of Christ. And that's what it is, the appearing of Christ. Unfortunately, what happens in even the religious Christendom of man is that after one begins in purpose, because purpose has appeared in their soul, Christ himself is that purpose. Unfortunately, the religion of man says, now you must. They've turned the heart away from the Lord unto religious activities or duties or obligations or this or that. It doesn't matter what it is. But the religion of man literally comes in and turns the heart away from the Lord so that they do not continue in the purpose for which their souls were created. It's Acts chapter 26, verse 16, the purpose for the soul. It's all found there. That's showing the Saul when he was born again and the Lord giving him the purpose for his existence. And it's basically, the Lord says this, I'm quoting out of the James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. I've actually, before I found that translation, I had my own translation written based on just a study that I did of the actual verse, and mine was really jerky, but it was saying the same thing. And then I saw this translation. I said, finally, a beautiful translation that expresses exactly what the verse is saying. But he basically says this: the Lord appears to Saul, and the Lord says, I have appeared unto thee. The Lord appeared where he was not before. I see it as new birth. I have appeared unto thee. Then he goes on, for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. This, the appearing of me and the appearing of me hereafter. That's the purpose for the soul. We cannot know the Lord unless we see the Lord. We cannot see the Lord except the Lord appear. Our heart must turn unto the Lord, that the veil be removed. And light appears. We've already looked at this, and forgive me, because I'm doing a class over the same material, so I'm not sure what I've already shared here on a Sunday session or during a class, so forgive me if I do a little bit of repetition. We've already seen that when Christ appears in the soul, we are in the exact same fellowship, the exact same communion, the Father and the Son, the fellowship of life, the crucified life. We have come into that same fellowship, the fellowship that Jesus, where Jesus would say, it is not I, but the Father in me. And then he would say, do you not believe that the Father is in me and I in the Father? The very same perfect union, perfect fellowship. Jesus continues before the face of his Father. It's a beautiful relationship. By new birth, because of the finished work of the cross, we have come into that relationship. Before Christ was crucified, no man could come. No man could see the glory of God. No man could behold the face of God. Jesus, his flesh is the veil. It says the veil was rent, his flesh was rent. And literally, at that very moment, the veil of the temple was rent, symbolizing the way had just been made. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he just doesn't leave it that way. He defines the way to what? The truth to what? The life to what? No man can come unto the Father but by me. No man can come into this relationship of I and the Father and the Father and me except by me. He makes the way in the cross. Right? He opens up the door in the cross. Now, for whosoever will, the dead that hear my voice shall live. All humanity who's not born again, the dead. Why? Because life is not present in their soul. Now, the moment life appears in the soul, they have life. Now to continue in that very same appearing, As I said, I know the purpose for existing. And it's just so simple. It's the appearing of Christ, which is an automatic. When he appears, we know him, for we see him as he is. It's automatic. Now, we could not be in this fellowship with him if he were not in us. I'm thinking of this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But it is of God that you are in Christ Jesus. God did this. But he could not do that except Christ Jesus be in you. You must be born again. And there's purpose for being born again. Rabin shared it once, and I'd never seen it. Bless you. But that's where I was in the scriptures. Like, holy mackerel, it was there the whole time. Bless you. And I never saw it. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Jesus basically says, you must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Then he says, I think it's like John chapter 3. And then he says, no man can see the kingdom except he be born again. So new birth wasn't the goal. Seeing was the goal. Exactly. New birth was the door into it. And I know that, you know, in the religion of man, some have their goal is just new birth and that's it. Well, no, that's not it. That is not continuing in the purpose for which the soul was created. That's not continuing in this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. What happened to the thy seeing me hereafter? This in the which I have appeared unto thee and that which I will appear unto thee hereafter. What happened to the continuing in the appearing of the Lord. See? That's it. That's why it's so simple. It's the appearing of the Lord. First, he appears as life where there was no life before. And as we continue in his appearing, he appears, listen, as the light of life. The light of the world. I'm thinking of this other verse. If any man be in Christ, a new creation. And I know I've shared this here. A new creation. We see the type, we see the testimony in Genesis chapter 1, verse like 1 through 3 or 1 through 4. In the beginning, God. Don't you love it? In the beginning, God. When you are born again, you've just begun. God is present. We're just ignorant. And because we don't confess our ignorance, we continue blind, saying that we see, therefore our sin remains. Sin, our separation remains. We are ignorant of the indwelling Christ. In the beginning, God. I love it. In the beginning, God appears. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the waters. And then, I know I've shared this, the first thing he does in his creation, in his testimony, let there be light. And there was light. The very first thing he does, let there be light. And there was light. The light appearing, the light of the creation appearing, the light, listen, the light of the world appearing. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If any man follow me, he shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the word follow, I don't think it's follow the leader. It's like a particle of union. Okay? All right. So it doesn't change. I'm not sure if I'd also shared this verse or not, but I looked at this passage, and I may have shared it already, but I'll share it just the same, because it's all still the same. These are just verses that I printed out before. The passage where Jesus is speaking, I should have marked it, where Jesus is speaking about no man lighteth a candle. And like I said, I may have shared it. That's fine. I'll share it again because it's so important, because there is purpose for the soul. And it's not, the end is not new birth, because there is purpose for new birth. Yeah, here it is. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 26. I'll pick up. I love this. Okay, I'll just start with verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation that seeketh a sign, And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet, Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, Jonah himself was a sign. Not what he did, he himself was a sign. So shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Death, burial, resurrection. Right. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. See? Why is Jesus saying she's going to rise up and condemn this generation? Why? Because this generation just wants a sign. But the greater sign is here. And then he goes on to say, the queen of Sheba, she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear. But she was obedient to what she heard. Because she heard, her heart turned, she saw. That was the final end. She saw. the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. They repented. And I know we immediately think, oh yes, they said, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. No, no. Repentance isn't about face. Repentance is the heart turning unto the Lord. That's true repentance. And in the heart turning unto the Lord, you have turned from. So you can turn from one thing unto another, and your heart never actually turned to the Lord. There's so many, and I don't, please understand, I don't make light of, I don't make fun of altar calls. I don't do that. But so many that come down to the altar and pray, just say, Lord, forgive me for what I did, or forgive me for this action, or forgive me for this thought, and then they go away. And they have not repented because their heart has actually not turned unto the Lord. True repentance is when the heart turns to the Lord. When the heart finally turns to the Lord. All right, verse 33. No man... I'll read verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here, Christ himself. All right, verse 33. Here's the verse that I was looking at. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That they which come in may see the light. That they which come in may see the light. There's purpose for coming in. It's to see the light. And it goes on, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. When thy eye is evil, thy whole also, thy body also is full of darkness. But take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Okay. I love it. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. This is Matthew 5:15 basically saying the same thing. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Not only for those coming into the house, but light for all those who are in the house. Guess what? If you are born again, you are in the house, for you have come through the door, Christ himself being that door. You have come through his death, burial, and resurrection. There is purpose for coming into the house, that all those who come in may see the light. That all those who are in the house may see the light. In a previous class, I won't go over it. The lighting of the candle is basically this. When the Lord appears, when the Lord is revealed, when Christ is revealed into the soul, guess what? The candle has been lit. Jesus spoke of John the Baptist. He was a bright, shining light. And you rejoiced in his light for a season. And I can't think of the rest of the verse, but I know he's basically saying, but I'm it. A greater than John the Baptist is here. You know, they rejoiced in John's light, the light of John the Baptist. And I've covered this in a previous class, but what was the light of John the Baptist? Okay, John is not the light of the world, Jesus is. But what was continually coming out of his mouth? Behold the Lamb of God. The apex of his ministry was this. You could sum up the whole entire ministry of John. Behold the Lamb of God. And I love this. When I shared this the first time, Rabin caught this, and I didn't catch it. And then he told me about it afterwards. John says that twice. The first time, it says, and John, I love this, the whole order of it. And this is, yes, I am still with the theme of ministry. This is the perfect definition of ministry, of a minister. It says, and John, looking upon Jesus, saith, John, beholding the Lord, declares, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The first appearing. He appears as that which takes away the separation. He appears as salvation, taking the separation of God and man away, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and you, Father, you and me, and I and you, Father, they may be one in us. All right? And then it continues. I love this. I love the order. I love the way... It was John, the Apostle John, that wrote this. He wrote according to the testimony. Everything he wrote was according to the testimony, because then it says this. And again, the next day. See, in Genesis, the Lord says, let there be light. And there was light. And it says, God saw that the light was good. It is good for there to be light. And then it says this. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. So I'm back in the Gospel of John. It says, and the next day, John seeth Jesus. Again, the next day. See, John continued in purpose. Therefore, he could declare purpose. The majority of the Christian religion of man does not continue in purpose, so they declare everything but. They call evil good and good evil, because they give a false purpose for existing. They give, I've seen stuff, it's just terrible. You can go into any Christian religion store and you'll see it. God wants to bless you, and he'll do it too. And these are the way he'll do it. All you have to do is follow this little formula, and he will bless you. They've perverted the scriptures. Listen, they've perverted the blessing of God. And we'll see it in just a second. They've perverted the blessing of God. They've perverted the blessing of God. Okay? So, here we have, again, the next day. Because, thank God, someone is continuing. Again, the next day, John seeth Jesus. His heart is turned. John seeth Jesus. And see, John the Baptist, one of the other things that he said was, repent! Right? Repent! And then, I think it was in the book of Malachi, I'm not sure, forgive me if it's not the book of Malachi, the Lord is saying, I will send my messenger, I love this, I will send my messenger before thy face. It's just so beautifully put. I will send my messenger before thy face, that they may behold thy face. And it says, he will turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers. Repent! Turn your heart to the Lord. That's basically what it's saying. Turn your heart to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord's heart is turned unto us. The Lord's face is turned unto our heart. I love this. In the Old Testament, a man after my own heart. And then the Lord looketh. Samuel, I love this, please. I know I've probably shared this, but it's just so fitting. Samuel, go anoint. You know, David. Okay, it's this one. No. It's this one. No. It's this one. No. He says, go anoint my anointed. Go anoint my king. Go anoint the one that I have chosen. All right? And then finally, Samuel says, well, who else is left? And the Lord is basically saying, do not look at his outward appearance, for that's how man looketh. And he says this, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. The question is, where are our hearts looking? The Lord looketh upon the heart. What? That our hearts would behold him face to face. The goal, the purpose is still the same. The appearing of Christ. It's the appearing of the Lord. When our hearts turn unto the Lord, the veil upon our heart, the Lord has no veil, we have the veil. The veil upon our heart is removed. And we behold the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. So, back to John. And the next day, John seeth Jesus, saith, proclaimeth, declareth, behold the Lamb of God. And as I said, Rabin got me aware of this. He appeared the second. It's in type. It's testified right there. apart from sin. Because the first time John declares, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," in relation to sin. Mm-hmm. But when the heart turns unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second apart from sin, in no relation to sin whatsoever, but in relation to purpose. See, dealing with the sin issue was to get you into purpose. Dealing with the sin issue was not the purpose, was not the goal. That was just getting you through the door. The door had blood on it. That was the sin issue. That was taking care of the sin issue to bring you into the house, into purpose. Now once in the house that you may continue in purpose, behold the Lamb of God, that those who come in may see the light of the house, that those who are in the house may see the light. And John was a candle. His candle was lit because he beheld the Lamb of God and declared what he beheld. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. But who will declare, "Behold the Lamb of God"? Only those in whom Christ is revealed. Because the Apostle Paul said the same thing. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, for this purpose, to reveal his Son in me, that my candle be lit, that light appear, with this purpose, that I might declare him." Because Paul was declaring something as Saul. But when Christ was revealed in Paul, he declared Christ. He could not declare anything less. That those who come into the house may see the light of the house. That those who come into this creation may behold the light of this creation. All right. Having said all that, I love this. I'll go back to the priestly or Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron. Numbers 6:22-27. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, on this wise, in this manner, this way, this is how you will bless the sons of Israel. This will be their blessing. This is how you will bless them." I know it says children in the King James, but it's sons. It's the same word. Strong's number 1121, you can check it out. "Saying unto them," verse 24, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them." I didn't have time to actually mark some of these definitions, so I won't go into a lot of definitions with you guys. But I do want us to read this passage in Corinthians. Because I saw, and I've been quoting it, so I'll just actually read it this time around. Because I saw the same thing with this priestly blessing. Okay? This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." All right? Now, verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We are changed from glory to glory, to bear the image of from bearing the image of the old unto bearing the image of the new. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Say unto Aaron and to his sons, In this manner you will bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. and the Lord make His face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them." It's like the Lord could be basically saying this: when you are blessed of the Lord, when you are kept of the Lord, then the Lord, His face is shining. Old covenant upon, new covenant in. Shining in. As God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath He shined in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord is make His face shine in thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance, His face upon thee, in thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. It's almost like the Lord is saying, when this is happening, when this is going on, when we're beholding the countenance of the Lord, the face of the Lord, we are being blessed. And not only that, we are bearing His name. We are bearing His image. No longer our name, no longer our image, the false image. But we are bearing His image, His name. The same thing you find where the Lord says, "And I'll put My name upon them. Write their name, My name in their foreheads," or something like that. It is His name. But how? Why? What causes this? What brings this about? Beholding the face of the Lord. Simply beholding the face of the Lord. Being blessed of the Lord. The true blessing. And this blessing, the priestly blessing of Aaron that He commanded, you know, for Aaron to bless the people with, and the sons of Aaron to bless the congregation, the people with, this wasn't just, it did not begin, and I'm thinking of this verse, you know, Jesus says, "Well, is it lawful to put away your wife for whatever reason?" Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave you this law." But in the beginning, it was not so. Okay? In the beginning, and I may not find the verse, in the beginning, God called, and I won't be able to find it. Yeah. Yes, here it is. Exodus. Exodus 19, 1 through 8. This is out after they come out of Egypt. Okay, now God starts giving them, you know, direction and everything. Okay. Verse 3. I'll just read 1 through 8. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, that same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come into the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called out unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel. Verse 4, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto Myself." It's a Myself thing. I didn't bring you unto this and that. No, I brought you unto Myself. I didn't bring you unto a creed, unto a code, unto a manner of living. No, I brought you unto Myself. Now therefore, I love this, verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey My voice." What is being obedient unto the voice? John said, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, "I heard the voice that spake with me, and I turned to see the voice." That's obedience unto the voice. "If you will obey My voice indeed, and keep My covenant," just keep it, "the covenant I bring you into, just keep it, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people, for all the earth is Mine. Verse 6, "And you shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." This He spoke to all. This was the purpose for all. Not just for some. For all. But then we know later on in Exodus, because I've got it right here, I already searched it out. Exodus 20, verse 18 through 21. This is what the Lord intended for each and every single person of Israel. This was not for a particular few. This was not for a few, but this was intended for each person, for each soul. Exodus 20, verse 18 through 21. And all the people saw the thunderings. This is after what I just read. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw, they removed themselves and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "Speak thou with us. You speak to us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die." Because in reality, no man can see the Lord and live. See, the thing is, if you're born again, what is it that you lose by beholding the face of God? Do you lose your life? Incorrect. Wrong. Christ is your life. You lose your vain imagination. You lose what you think is your life. The thing is, we have no clue who our life is. Therefore, we fear. If you love that which is your life, if you love that which you think is your life, you will lose Him who truly is your life. You will lose the knowing of Him who truly is your life. But if you hate that which you think is your life, you will find Him who truly is your life. But let not God speak unto us, lest we die. Lest we confess like those, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel's here. Yet not I, the life of the vessel. Christ liveth in me. It is not I who live, but Christ liveth in me." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you. And that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not, that you separate not, that you not break the covenant." Right? And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. They were all purposed. And I looked up the term priest, and I don't have time to go into it. But a priest basically comes before the Lord. He served the Lord, and he served the people. If you can just think about this. You can think of Aaron and the lineage of Aaron. You know, all those in the line of Aaron. They would go in and serve in the tabernacle, and they would go before the Lord. Even the High Day of Atonement, they would go behind the veil and appear, you know, before the Lord. And then they would go and serve the people. They would appear before the people and declare that which they have beheld. That was the original intent for every single one of Israel. And they refused. They refused to lose that which they thought was their life. And all the Lord said was, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." At this point, the Lord didn't institute the priesthood of Aaron. This was just speaking to everybody. You all will be a kingdom of priests. And guess what? Peter picks it up. Yeah, I've got it all right here. Peter picks it up later on. I love this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming... disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion, a chief cornerstone, elect, wherefore all precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they are appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a particular people, that you should show forth the praises of him," here we go, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. A holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, where in the Old Testament they refused. What did they refuse? See, Moses is a type of Christ, is he not? Yes, he is. The whole entire nation of Israel was purposed to be a type of Christ as well, to be a testimony of Christ. They refused that. We know that because they died in the wilderness. They refused to continue in the purpose for which they were created. All right? Moses, look at Moses. He goes before the face of the Lord. He's face to face. You see it. He goes up to Mount Zion. Face to face. That's where, you know, he comes back down. His face is glowing. His face is shining. You know, we've already covered this. The religion of man today wants an old covenant relationship. They want us to glow in the dark. They want something on the outward. The New Testament is from within. It's greater. A greater than Moses is here. A greater than that glory is here. And we deny the greater, just like they denied the Christ when he walked on the face of the earth. Therefore, we continue in darkness. We continue in ignorance. And we call good evil and evil good. Moses was face to face with the Lord. He communed face to face. But it wasn't just for Moses. It was for all. That's what the Lord said. And you shall be unto me a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. All of you will. All of you will. You will all come before me and behold my face. And then you will all go before others and declare what you have beheld. Just like John the Baptist. And John, looking upon Jesus, saith, behold the Lamb of God. And at the next day, John, looking upon Jesus, and saith, behold the Lamb of God. The same exact fellowship, communion, relationship that was testified of, declared of in the Old Testament, we have come into. But if our hearts do not turn unto the Lord, if we do not behold His face, then we will declare a false purpose for existing. And we will say, this is what God wants for you. And we will literally be calling good evil and evil good. The Lord did not intend it just for Moses. He intended it, you will all be a kingdom of priests. See, where man failed, the testimony continues. Regardless, hey, if they fail, fine. The testimony continues. That's why I said Peter picks it back up again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood that has one purpose, to come, serve the Lord, serve before His face. But how will you serve the Lord? How can you serve the Lord? I don't know if I've mentioned this during a Sunday session. No man can serve the Lord in darkness. Period. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The night cometh when no man can work. If Christ has not appeared in your soul as light, if He has not been revealed in your soul, then you are not serving the Lord. You are working works of darkness, works of the flesh. It is not the work of the Lord. Thinking of another verse. I love this. I covered this before in a previous class. Jesus said this. I'll have to look it up. I know I'll misquote it. I probably won't find it. I looked this up. There's three instances where Jesus is speaking concerning where I am. And you know, I may already have. Yeah, I did. I think I did already share it. All right, I'll just look at these three instances. And I put them in this order, a particular order. This is John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that for the purpose of where I am, there you may be also. Well, where is Jesus? I am in my Father, the Father in me. I am in this fellowship of life. I am in this fellowship of the Father and the Son. I am in the communion of the Father and the Son, the communion of life, the fellowship of life. Not I, but the Father. I am in this relationship so that where I am, ye may be also, speaking of his disciples. All right. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. With now, he gets a little bit more specific. With the purpose of, for the goal of, denoting the purpose, that they may behold my glory. There's purpose for coming into the house. The glory of God is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Now the verse that I was looking at concerning those serving the Lord, this is John chapter 12, verse 20 through 26. The whole context of this passage is verse 21. The same day came therefore to Philip, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Verse 21. This is the whole context of this passage. The same day came therefore to Philip these Greeks, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. This is the whole context of this passage. Sir, we would see Jesus. I'll just read verse 26. If any man serve me, this is Jesus speaking, let him follow me. Particle of union, Strong's number 190. It's not follow the leader. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And listen to this. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If you have no clue where the Lord is, you have no clue where He is. Therefore, you are not a servant of the Lord. You are a servant of your own vain imagination. Why? Because there is no light. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. What does that mean? They don't continue in the way. That's all that means. They're not continuing in the way. So what's happening? Then they're falling by the wayside. Very simple. The purpose for which the soul was created. The appearing of Christ. And yet the Christian religion of man has left it for some other purpose. Declaring some other purpose. But the Lord still declares, this thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. And where is the blessing found? In thy seeing me. And see, I stated, all Israel were purposed, testified of, to be a kingdom of priests. The testimony doesn't change. Therefore, the reality of it doesn't change, even as Peter picked up and I already read it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him which hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. To do what? To continue in the light, that when you come into the house, you may see the light. Because there are those declaring the light, who are beholding the light, declaring the light, behold the Lamb of God. Therefore, those that are in the house can be obedient unto the voice and turn and themselves see the light of life, the light of the house, the light of the creation, the light of the creation of God. And those coming into the house may hear the voice and turn and behold the very exact same light with purpose to see the light. And that they continue declaring, yes, the testimony will go forth, the testimony unto all the ends of the earth, the testimony will go forth. but it'll only go forth through those who have beheld the Christ of God. It'll only go forth through those who are beholding the Christ of God. And they will be declaring this. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. Those who come into the house, on this wise you shall bless them. This will be how you will bless them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep thee where? Keep thee in purpose. Keep thy heart turned unto Him. That's what Elijah said. That this people may know, Lord, that I've not done anything on my word, nothing of my own mind, but according to thy word, according to thy mind, I've done all these things. That they may know that you have done this, that thou hast turned their hearts back unto thee again. That keeping, because the Lord looketh upon the heart. But where is the heart looking? That the heart would look also unto the Lord. The Lord, and the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance unto thee and give thee peace. And this is perfect peace, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. That's peace. Peace. When it is not I, but other. Not I, but Christ. That's walking in peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And in this blessing, they will bear my image. They will bear my name. And I will bless them. Why? Because who is blessed? Me? No. The Son is blessed. The Son is blessed. Christ is blessed. Not us. The understanding at that point, when you're beholding the face of God, when His face is shining in thee, the understanding of the Son is present. It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Therefore, the blessing is present. Let me say it this way. Therefore, the blessing is known to be present. Christ Himself is known to be present when light appears, when Christ is revealed. So, I know I've covered, actually I think I've covered a lot, but it's very simple. And that's why I declare it. That's why I declare it. The purpose for the soul is the appearing of Christ. So very simple. You can spend your whole lifetime with a false purpose and never, either never come into purpose or having come into purpose, never continue in purpose. But it doesn't change. It's the appearing of Christ. The ultimate blessing of God is right there. Make His face shine in thee. Make His face shine upon thee. Lift up His countenance unto thee. It's the appearing of Christ. The blessing of God, the appearing of Christ. The salvation of God, the appearing of Christ. Everything, the appearing of Christ. We are all called unto this. All called unto this. And declare this calling that others would come as well and come into purpose. So, with that, I'll end, and the Lord bless you all, and I will read as the Lord would have me read. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And the Lord says, and I will bless them. Amen.